My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol.
My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.
We're talking about Sweet 16 podcast. A podcast. We'll put a pod in your cast.
It's the Two Chunks way. Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan.
Oh, man. I'm Doge.
Who are you?
I'm Doge. Today's punchline is to prism, so they have time to reflect on what they've done.
This one's already funny.
To Where prism, do you- so they have time to reflect on what they've done.
You can't go to prism. You can't do that. You go to prism.
Man, I love that Hugh Jackman movie, Prisoners. Have you seen Prisoners?
I have a poster for Prisoners above my desk.
Prisoners. You know, I'm just kind of a prisoner. Where do rays go when they're in trouble? Where do light rays go when they're in trouble? When do colors go? Where do colors go when they're in trouble?
When do colors go when they're in trouble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna go with where do waves of light go, so I'll change it. What happens to bad rainbows? Where do bad rainbows go when they get arrested?
Hey.
Jordan wonders with a swish, nothing but net, where do rainbows go when they've been bad to prism so they have time to reflect on what they've done?
Help.
Now it seems here you didn't point to a pot of gold. What were you thinking? Time for you to go to prism.
To prism.
To prism. I'm Carter. And about to make a name for myself?
Oh, again. Sorry. Back.
Is it back?
Off my chest. Happy Easter. Jesus is risen. Mm.
He's risen.
Risen.
Indeed. Risen. He is risen indeed. Man. Do we start with Spring Delirium? Is that what we said? Or what are we starting with?
No, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting in the wings for somebody to introduce me.
Why would we do that?
You introduce yourself.
No, this is y'all's favorite part. I know this is why we record. This is your favorite part. Introduce me.
Here's Doge.
Here he is.
That's Doge. Right, folks. It's Doge. And I'm back again with another list from the top tens. Listen, we've been delirious for a few weeks here now. We've been working really hard to determine the top 10 best sauces and dips and eventually whittle that down to the top one sauces and dips. They've already done the work for us over on the top10s.com, though. At the top10s.com/food/top-10-sauces-dips/, you'll find a crowdsourced list of the 10 best sauces according to this very interesting and unique website. And I want you guys to guess which sauces make up the top 10 according to the top10s.com.
Can I go first?
You may go first.
No.
Ketchup.
Ketchup.
Everybody, what is it, Major? You want
ketchup number 3.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous refrigerator.
Refrigerator. I left out a full section of
that
the word.
That was great.
Refrigerator. Refrigerator. That's
my
a Transformer,
Batman
right?
Villain.
That's number That's three.
That's bad.
Ranch.
Number three. Ranch is number two. You know why ranch should be number one, because I see everyone put it on everything. Fries, onion rings, burgers, chicken strips, salads, veggies.
I've been watching y'all.
I've even seen people put it on pizza.
What even?
Heck.
That's what it's made for. What
I mean,
are you talking about?
I mean, heck. I've even seen heck pizza. I mean, heck, some of these young kids out there putting a ranch dressing on their pizzas.
I've watched you guys putting your ranch on your fries, even your pizza.
I feel very confident.
Ranch.
That I know what number one is.
Didn't say it. That's the
good,
point.
It's your turn.
Hunty Musty.
That's the new Armani scent.
Let me tell you something that won't surprise you about the top10s.com. This list goes all the way to 25. The Hunty Munt does not even show up on this.
That's Honey Mustard.
Oh, I always think Honey Mustard Chicken Tendos is like this crowd's jam.
No Honey Mun.
No Honey Mun, dude.
Because I get the vibe perhaps. This is a very homeschool website.
Honey Mustard's too complicated. Too complex.
Barbecue.
Barbecue sauce is number one. Yeah, it's a what? Southern thing. Ribs and chicken. Let's all eat. Oh, it's good with fries too.
Interesting.
No, think about it. It makes sense.
Yeah. Interesting. It's a Southern thing.
Ribs and chicken.
You guys wouldn't get it. All you Yanks wouldn't get it.
I like barbecue sauce because it tastes great. Unlike ranch, which smells like a sweaty foot dipped in vinegar and spread with melted Limburger.
Ooh. Love that.
That is the first sentence on this page. Everything else is just like headers or like a link to, I guess barbecue sauce does look like it's hyperlinked. Oh no, it's just blue. That would have been crazy. You click on it, go to a page for barbecue sauce.
Limburger is the first link?
No. The first sentence is that really wonderful description of what ranch dressing actually tastes
like.
Oh,
I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm okay. I get it, dude. Relax.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm really shocked that Honey Mustard's not top 25 here.
You got to move past it, man.
Honey
it's
mustard.
Not here. You got to start
just
thinking.
It's just such a chicken tender sauce.
Honey Mustard.
You guys have the top three.
We covered all the ones that little kids eat.
Top three. You've got barbecue sauce, ranch, and ketchup.
What other sauce? Are there brand names here?
Nope.
Okay.
Great. What could it be?
Well, now I'm realizing that I don't know what kind of sauce. I'm just going to go with buffalo. I feel like they probably like buffalo on this website.
I would have gone with that, yeah.
You would have both been wrong. Jordan, you actually are wrong. No buffalo.
Yeah, would have. No buffalo. They give me
not
that classic yellow
five.
Musty. Give me the yellow mustard.
Yellow mustard number seven.
Hey-o.
Yummy, I love it. I have it on hot dogs. It's awesome.
It's I've come with some good. Presuppositions about the taste buds of the people who contribute to this website.
But I'm telling you, you're trying hard to collect that data and build a profile on these folks. And this is throwing a wrench into it. This is outlying data points.
Wow. I'm going to just, you know what? Mayonnaise, dude.
Mayo.
Give me that sweet mayonnaise.
Mayo.
Mayonnaise does not appear in the top 25. That is three strikes right in a row for Jordan.
Oh, I don't get to play anymore?
Sorry, Dan. Let me take this by the reins. I take it for myself.
See how many you
marinara.
No.
Marinara.
Marinara does not appear on this list.
Marinara, dude. Dang.
So Jordan with a score of
not
one.
Not a single.
Carter with a score of four.
I get to keep going though. I have no strikes.
See how many you can get? No, that's you don't have a strike now. See how many you can get. You're at four.
I have one strike. Sriracha. Is it too spicy for that kid? For the lists kids of the world?
Sriracha does not appear. Two strikes, right, in a row.
Okay.
Come on, just think of a sauce.
Just classic sauce. I think there's going to be dressings on this.
Sauce.
I think there's going to be dressings on this.
Well, yeah, we've already talked about ranch.
Blue cheese.
Strike three. Wow. 4-1. Carter wins this. You guys got the top three. Barbecue sauce, ranch, ketchup. Number four.
That's all that matters.
Garlic aioli. Best for fries. New comment. Good for fries.
Sort of two different strengths of opinion there.
Yeah.
Number five, sweet chili sauce. What's a potato wedge without sweet chili sauce?
What?
I've never, ever had sweet chili sauce on a potato wedge.
No, that's not even wild. A combination I've heard of.
No, thanks. I mean, thanks. I'd probably try it, yeah.
Number six, Dijon mustard.
All right, respect.
Dijon.
Number seven, we got that. Mustard. Number eight, mushroom sauce.
Okay.
What? Did Mario make this or something?
Mushroom sauce.
All right, man.
I'm going to read the description of number nine. I want you guys to guess what it is. There's two comments. The first one says, good with chicken. The second one says, basically my life. I'll drink it plain if I have no meat to soak in it. It also goes great with rice. Ooh, I am starving. What sauce do we think they're talking about?
A1.
A1 from Jordan. Carter, what do you think they're talking about?
Soy sauce.
Close. Teriyaki sauce.
Ah.
And number 10.
I'll even put it on some rice.
Number 10, hollandaise sauce.
All right, dude. There was a lot more ranch in here than I was anticipating.
I want to call your attention to something. Number 17 on this list could be a window into a missed opportunity for us. Hot fudge is a sauce here. And we've not spoken at length about any of the sweet dessert sauce, the chocolate syrup, the caramel syrup, the strawberry sauce.
This strawberry list is cornberry. Not very God's most powerful warrior. It's shocking to me. I'm impressed.
You like
it's a different algo for that list.
Well, I mean, I don't know that I like it or dislike it. I'm just impressed.
I need you to tell me if you like it or don't like it.
Can you let him just be impressed, though?
Why don't you just tell me how you feel?
I think I've discovered something about you today, Doge.
Hmm.
Something that has been there all along.
Hmm.
You didn't make this list.
No.
But you feel equally hurt if someone doesn't like it because you found it.
It's because I didn't make this list, but I did adopt it into my heart and into my life. You know what I mean? Like, It's not something that I sat down and wrote, but it is something that is very important to me because I did the work to find it for you.
You know how there are people that are like, my brain can't tell the difference between being chased by a serial killer and sitting down to do work? You know how there are people that talk about that?
Yeah.
I think your brain can't tell the difference between effort that means a lot to you and effort that just took a second to do. And so you equally are like, well, I looked for this list.
Yeah.
So this is part of who I am now.
Yeah. I'm really trying to Ender's Game these list authors and be like, once I understand my enemy, I can't hate him and I have to love him, you know?
Dang. Right.
And that's just the way I live my life.
Wow.
If y'all don't want to live that way, that's fine.
One list I'm at good, a time, actually, dude. Let's head to a bracket. Maybe we're more bracket boys than list boys today. You know?
I'm fine with that. I can agree with
this
that.
This is something that I didn't create it. I mean, I hard created to argue it, a list. Sure.
You know,
yeah, we made the bracket. We have a sweet 16 here. And what's funny is most of them are probably not even really actually sweet sauces. But they're great sauces. And we're going to have some matchups that might be a little bit tougher. The normal rules here, if you've been listening to Spring Delirium at all, is if these boys are on separate sides, I usually go with Jordan. But no, if they're on separate sides, I'll do a 3-2-1. They name their sauce. And then argue for their sauce. And then ultimately I would pick that. We're going to get from 16 to 8 to 4. And then once we're at 4, dear friends, be sure and check those social medias because we're going to be asking you who makes it out of the Final Four to the championship and then ultimately crowning the sauce. We're doing a lot of the work for you. All you have to do is just sign the dotted line. That's all that we're asking.
Mm.
It's really easy. Mm. Our first matchup, we're going to head down there in the classics. my friends.
Classic.
We're going to get to the championship of our classics here. We have two matchups. We start with yellow mustard against buffalo sauce.
Oh, man. That's a tough,
tough
one.
Start already, my friends. Yellow mustard against buffalo sauce.
I know what I'm doing.
Doge Bridges. He's ready. Three, two, one.
Yellow mustard.
Yeah. Mustard needed its champion, you know? And this is one of them. Because we do have, over here in the classic side of things, we got another mustard here.
Oh, wow.
Our second matchup. Who will play yellow mustard in the classics finale, the championship? Honey mustard against French, also known as Fridge Ranch.
I'm ready.
Yeah, me too.
Three, two, one.
Honey mustard.
Honey mustard.
Wow.
For Fridge Ranch?
RIP yeah. Fridge Ranch. Fridge Ranch. All right. So it's going to be a mustard championship, dude. We'll get back to that in a little bit. But we got yellow mustard against honey mustard in the classics championship. Now, let's head on over to hot sauces.
Please.
Crystal Hot Sauce, the winner of Louisiana Hot Sauce Championship. Crystal Hot Sauce against Valentina.
I'm ready.
Crystal against Valentina.
Yeah, I am too.
Three, two, one.
Valentina.
Ooh, yeah, I'm so happy for that.
Congratulations to Val and to Tina.
Wow.
Valentina, moving on to the championship match within hot sauces. Who will she compete against? Sriracha or Yellowbird Serrano?
Wow, what a showdown.
Ooh, 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 ouchie.
Wow,
ouchie.
What a showdown. Give me a second here.
I knew immediately, which sucks. I hate it.
I hate them.
I hate them. I knew it.
All of the orphans.
I knew it. There was a clown and there was a little basketball boy. And I knew who I had to choose in this moment.
Man. Took me I'm too ready. Long to find out that was here, bud. Three, two, one.
Yellowbird
Serrano.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
I love Sriracha. These are probably my two, between these two and Valentina, it's probably the three most used hot sauces in my fridge.
Mm-hmm.
But something about that Yellowbird Serrano is so unique that I simply must honor it.
Yellowbird Serrano is the kind of thing that I'm going for it as often as I can.
Yeah.
But I know that if I burn out on it, Sriracha is always there for me. Sriracha has my back. Friendship not ended. Bridge not burned with Sriracha. I'm just taking somebody else to the prom tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. It's actually kind Serrano of a, against Valentina in the final.
It's a crappy way to live interpersonally. Just saying, don't keep people on the back burner in your life. They're important to you.
Yeah, maybe not.
Act like it, but
maybe not.
These are just sauces. They're not people. It doesn't
matter.
They're
just sauces, though. Yeah, we're not too worried about that. Next up, we're going to head over to the known for section here. These are those restaurant sauces, you know, the ones that they're known for.
Sauce-terrant.
Wow. We start with Cane's sauce.
Okay.
Against Whataburger spicy ketchup.
I'm ready.
I am as well.
Three, two, one.
Whataburger spicy ketchup.
Sauce.
Okay. Jordan, you go first. Why the spicy ketchup here? This is a big deal.
For me, it really just boils down to Cane's has gotten a free ride up to this point because of its matchups. But now it's up against a true titan of industry, somebody that brings something to the table. And spicy ketchup is, like we've said, what ketchup is supposed to be. We've reached the pinnacle of a sauce. Ketchup doesn't get any better than spicy chup. And Cane's sauce... dupes get better than Cane sauce. And I think that's why spicy chup wins for me.
I actually agree with everything that you've said. Spicy ketchup is the top of the staircase of ketchup. It is peak ketchup. Cane sauce dupes are better than Lane sauce is better than cane sauce. And I didn't even go to Texas A&M. Whoop, gig them.
Gig them, Aggies.
But I do think the baseline cane sauce experience is still higher. Like ketchup maximum can get me to 80%. Cane
this
sauce
ketchup.
Starts at 80%. And I'm saying like ketchup is a category. The best ketchup, spicy ketchup, gets me to 75-80%. I think cane sauce starts better than spicy ketchup gets. Does that make sense?
Okay. Like, yeah, we just have a fundamental disagreement.
We just disagree. And so now Carter's going to choose spicy ketchup and we're going to move
to the
next round.
I think it's a new slogan. I think it should be a new slogan for cane sauce. Starts better than ketchup gets.
Yeah.
Than spicy ketchup gets.
It's an
Cane's moves on.
Whoa.
There you go. Cane sauce moves on. Our final matchup of the Sweet 16 in this section of the bracket. Jalapeno ranch from Chuy's. Against Taco Bell's fire sauce.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Jalapeno ranch from Chuy's. Tell me right now that you wouldn't mix those boys together, though.
Yeah.
Make a new super sauce.
I honestly don't know if I would. I just like jalapeno ranch.
I probably wouldn't.
You guys are crazy.
By its own self, dude.
You guys are afraid.
By its own self. It's time to head international. Grab your passports. Grab your plane tickets. Grab your marinara.
Marinara.
Salsa. Against. Chimichurri.
Ready.
Yep.
Chimichurri loves Stormlight. Salsa against Chimichurri. 3, 2, 1.
Salsa.
Salsa. Salsa.
It's a food and a dance.
It's a southern thing. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a southern thing.
Great on ribs and
ribs,
chicken.
Chicken. Salsa moves on to the elite.
Can that be the new slogan for Two Chunks?
Eight.
Two Chunks and a Hunk. It's a southern thing. Great on ribs
Great
and
on
chicken.
Ribs and chicken.
Mole against pesto.
Okay.
Mole against pesto. 3, 2, 1.
Mole.
Pesto.
Two different sides here. Mole for Jordan. Pesto for Doge. Doge, explain yourself first on the pesto.
I love basil.
Jordan, mole argument.
I think I've argued enough for mole. It is I've realized during this that mole is kind of somewhat of a darling for me, and I didn't really know that about
You've
myself,
described mole as sexy several times, so I would say darling for
I
sure.
I think it is. Yeah.
It is sexy. There's something about eating and smelling mole that is sensual. It is erotic.
Sure.
Yeah, I just think mole is like so unique and rich and powerful.
Are you talking about mole or doge?
Sorry, you cut out there.
Are you talking about mole or doge?
Sorry, you cut out there.
Unique, rich, and powerful. You talking about mole or doge?
He keeps cutting out. Carter, can you hear him?
No, I can't hear anything.
Oh, weird.
I guess it's up to me, huh?
Yeah.
That's how it goes, man.
Welcome to the game you made, dog.
Pesto.
You
mole,
every
I can't
time
believe.
We come to a tie, you always go with Doge.
You guys know that one picture of like the end of.
Always go with Doge every time.
That photograph of like the end of World War II where there's a big parade and they're kissing in the street in New York City. You know what I'm talking about?
It's so
the sailor.
That's what I feel like right now.
I love, man. Mole is such a unique experience. And I love the process. It's my favorite process. Not that I know the process of how you make all these sauces, but I know mole's well, which is just wait. That's what it is. Mm. Mix all these things and just let it sit.
How many of these you think how many of these you think you could make at home? Like just like go in the kitchen right now. No prep and be like, I can make something kind of like this.
Well, no, for
I'm
sure.
Realizing chimichurri and pesto are in. Made.
I think I could do over half of them. Just go
grinding
like,
up seeds and
just
wow.
Let me blast this out. I think I can get something close.
I mean, you probably could make a marinara. Were it not for literally yesterday, it was one of those days to where we got some odds and ends in the fridge. What are we going to do? Chelsea had a leftover meal. Shout out. They're not a sponsor, but they're good.
I'm going to cut that.
And made for me breakfast. So we had, because she wanted to do a pesto fried egg.
Mm. Yeah.
Make the bacon first, bacon grease in there, put eggs on bacon grease, yes. Let them sit, salt and pepper, pesto, globs of it, homemade pesto, blop, blop. And it's got like a crispy bottom to it. Dude, it was so good. And throw some cheese on top. Amazing. Mm. Amazing.
Please.
Elite Eight. We ready for this? We're going to do the Elite Eight now or we do it after the break? No, let's do it now.
Hey, more like the I'll Eat Eight.
It was the mustard mash. A delirium clash. Yellow mustard against honey mustard to the final four. Who will it be? Who will mustard's champion
I'm ready.
Be?
I am too, and it's going to break my heart.
Against honey mustard. 3, 2, 1.
Honey yellow mustard. Yellow mustard. No way.
Ooh. I didn't think we'd be on separate sides. Jordan, you go first.
As the mustard champion, I feel like honey mustard takes the crown. It's like the sauce of mustard. And I'm not even speaking for me because honestly, I probably use more yellow mustard than honey mustard in my life. But just honey mustard is like one of the ubiquitous sauces of the world. And I feel like deserves its chance to fight for the title.
Doge?
First of all, look at the stars, see how they shine for you. We're talking yellow mustard. Second of all, honey mustard, yellow mustard. No, listen, everything that honey mustard is good on, yellow mustard also is good on. Everything that honey mustard is good on, yellow mustard is also good on. And then additionally, there are other things that honey mustard is not my preferred condiment of choice, that mustard is good on. I think the entirety of the set of foods that honey mustard is good on is contained within the entirety of set of foods that mustard is good on. And mustard contains more foods that it's good on than honey mustard does.
What you have just said is there are some things. There are some things that yellow mustard and honey mustard are good on. There are some things that only yellow mustard is good on.
That's correct. So yellow mustard is better. It's good on more things.
That everything, cannot be your argument.
Everything that honey mustard is good on, yellow mustard is good on. And then additionally, there are other foods that honey mustard is not good on that yellow mustard is good on.
But but there are things that honey mustard and yellow mustard are both good on that honey mustard is much better on.
No further comments.
All right. This one was going to honey mustard. Honey mustard is our first entrant into. Yeah.
The parade's over. They stopped kissing.
The final four. The final four. Next, I'm going to jump on up to hot sauces.
Hot sauce.
Valentina is here.
Yep.
Heard of it. Valentina against Yellowbird Serrano. Valentina hot sauce against Yellowbird Serrano. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
I'm going Yellowbird.
Yellowbird Serrano, dude.
And wow. I think probably Yellowbird Serrano in the Final Four is tough because I bet a lot of people haven't had it. So I think this has been the peak of Yellowbird. And honestly, I've been shocked that it's made it this far, but I have Yellowbird every week of my life. And that's every time I eat it, I'm like, yeah.
It's a really good sauce. Right. I'm unclear. It may be the novelty factor of like, it's still relatively new in my life. That may be why I'm reaching for it so frequently.
Dude, I think I'm on like year 2 of Yellowbird Serrano.
Well, yeah, that's versus like year 12 of Valentina.
Sure. I'm just saying like, if it was going to wear out its welcome, I think it would have done it by now for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Two Chunks is known for a lot, really.
Good on ribs, good on chicken. Know,
we have multitudes. Good on ribs, good on chicken.
Yeah.
Let's do this matchup down here. This cane sauce against Chewy's
Yeah, ready.
Jalapeno Ranch.
Yeah.
Three. That's why nobody fought hard during the previous rounds.
Chewy's Jalapeno Ranch dressing.
Yeah, we all knew it was going to be Chewy's here.
That means, well, we'll get to it in a little bit. Finally, international. A matchup that does not feature marinara, but a reason to say marinara. Salsa against pesto.
Yep.
Salsa against pesto. 3, 2, 1.
Salsa.
Salsa.
Has to be.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it has to be.
It does.
That means our final four will be Yellowbird Serrano against Chewy's Jalapeno Ranch. And salsa against honey mustard.
Wow.
Ooh.
I think Yellowbird we're about Serrano to find out why Chewy's going to Chewy's is always a good time would be
because it's probably going to be Jalapeno Ranch against salsa.
You can get the top two.
Yep.
Bro, if they margarita table, was a sauce.
ASAP. Yeah, now you got them all. Well done, boys. That's the spring delirium. We'll have
didn't
that.
Didn't tacos win last
over
year?
To the social medias.
Or 2 years
yes,
ago?
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
What is there to dislike? I mean, at the end of the day, Mexican food, like. Tex-Mex food, it's got everything I need, personally.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Man. Update for me.
There we are.
9:09 a.m.
Yeah.
Ready for Chewy's. Would go to Chewy's right now.
Y'all ever get
chips and a margarita
their
right
quesadillas?
Now?
Quesadillas? Yeah. Hmm? I don't know what they do with those quesadillas. It's the thickest tortilla I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Chewy's is great, man.
It's so good.
It's dunk so that, good.
A little bit of pico, a little bit of.
Oof.
A little bit of ranch. Don't mind if I do. Drizzle
give it
some queso on top.
Give it, please. Give it, please.
Let's go to show announcements so we can afford some Chewy's. It was kind of Beaker for a second.
It was, yeah.
I like it.
Welcome to Shout Announcements, the part of the show where we give Beaker and make announcements. Where we give Bunsen and make Beaker.
Everybody do your part as a Muppet. Or you're a coward.
Do your part.
Do your part in this Shout Announcements as a Muppet.
I'm just
going to
talk normal, but I'm going to go like this.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Or just have one arm up on the table.
Turdifer. Turdifer.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty good.
That's my Swedish.
That's good.
Chef.
How do you put subtitles in a podcast?
Oh, I thought it was Kermit.
Oh, no, sorry.
Dude, I love Fozzie.
Here we are over in Shout Announcements. We're so excited today to talk about our Discord. If you want to be our friends, jump on into the Discord and have a good time with us. We're going to see a movie that is a nickname that they give the three of us. Really, it's funny that we're going to go see Sinners. in April, come watch it. Me and my friends.
It turns into Patrick Mahomes real quick.
Pretty decent Kermit, actually. It's very good.
Yeah, it's not a bad Kermit.
Appreciate it.
Very good.
Appreciate it. You know, I'll try. But real talk, like Kermit said, like my buddy Kermit said.
Yeah.
The movie that we see for... Two Chunks Movie Club for April will be Sinners.
Mm.
This is that new flick with Michael B. Jordan. That looks like it's got vampires, maybe? I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows, man?
Uzis and vampires or something like that, bro? But
nobody knows.
Nobody really knows. I'm down. He plays himself and... No, he plays him and twin. He plays twins. He plays two people. We've never seen that in the movies before.
I think the other one is Michael C. Jordan.
Mm.
Wow. It's like a...
Yeah. Or is it Michael situation? A?
Mm. I think Michael A is the basketball one. That's Michael A. Jordan.
I don't think I know Michael Jordan's middle name.
I always thought it was Michael A. Gelo. Am I wrong about this?
Close. That's the turtle one that the painter's named after.
Got it.
Yeah.
You should listen to... Sorry.
Kermit?
You should listen to Imagine Dungeons. It's great. And I'll just say this. Season 2 is coming along.
Yee.
And
his middle name, Michael Jordan's middle name, Air Jordan's middle name is Jeffrey.
Michael so that's Jeffrey? Michael J. Jordan. We're missing a couple of others.
That's wild.
We could probably burn through them real quick. Michael Andrew Jordan, Michael Brandon Jordan, Michael Cameron Jordan, Michael David Jordan, Michael Eric Jordan, Michael Franklin Jordan.
Keep going. How many can you get?
Michael Gordon Jordan.
Michael George Jordan.
Michael Heather Jordan. Michael Isaac Jordan. Yeah. There we go. Michael Jeffrey Jordan is next.
Michael Jordan Jordan.
And the other Jordan is me, and he's escaping through an escape hatch in the floor to get out of shout announcements. Just, as soon as I hit this button, I'll be whizzing away.
When it comes to fungicides, there's only one way to spell yield. N-E-O. Miravis Neo is the 2024 number one retailer recommended corn fungicide for a reason. It dominates spots, rots, blights, and stress to out-yield competitive brands like Veltima. And there's 6 years of university data to prove it. Ask your Syngenta retailer about using Miravis Neo for more yield more often. Based on 2024 Stratus Retailer Efficacy Study. Always read and follow label instructions.
I had a feeling, I guess I don't really know where to put it in my life. We've played the feelings wheel on here. We've talked about our therapy journeys and stuff.
Yeah. But
the feeling of an announcement of, you know, a ton of people being in the next Marvel installment. There was nostalgia here. There was sadness. There was anxiety. It was just a big old, it was a big old mole of feelings. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But not the sexy kind. I didn't know what to think. But we had our doomsday.
It was a sad mole.
Our doomsday cast was named. And it was like, but there's not, but that might not even be all of them. And it's like 20 or 30 people. But I'm going to read to you about as much as we know on the Marvel doomsday cast list. And this is going to be the list you can pull from for your extra credit. Today, for those of you that haven't heard of Extra Credit, it uses the IMDb algorithm. Yeah, and you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Just listen along, and you'll figure it out. How did you boys feel in hearing some of these announcements? It was definitely jumping up over in our Discord. Historically, we've kind of had some exhaustion with the MCU culture in general has, but this podcast has had some conversations about that. It might have been something in general that was like, hey, we started as Marvel, and then ultimately it felt like all of the Marvel and the way that Hollywood was going was like, maybe we don't talk about movies all the time. Maybe. I feel like Marvel has a massive influence on this podcast, but how do y'all feel about this announcement?
This announcement, and listen, I know some people are stoked out their gourds about it. This announcement felt like the guy who graduates from your high school and then you find out like a couple years later, like, oh, he's still going to all the football games in his letter jacket. It's a little bit like, let's trot it out and do it one more time. And it's like, actually, I don't care. And I'm not leaping out of my seat because James Marsden is back as Cyclops. Ooh, yeah. I don't care.
Here's the thing. That is exciting. That is fun though.
As somebody who dips in and out about once a year, plays a little Call of Duty with some friends, and then dips back out again, this reminds me a lot of whenever Call of Duty's like, we finally fixed the game and you guys are going to love it. And just as somebody who has learned that that's almost never true anymore, you read the announcement and you go, doubt it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doubt it.
Some of our OG Avengers will be in here. Fantastic Four, X-Men, older X-Men. Obviously, we'll have the Thunderbirds, Thunderbolts.
It all just feels, there's something desperate about it that feels like it's a dying, gasping breath of Marvel.
I want it to work.
Because
is it Robert Downey Jr. As Dr. Doom? That makes you feel
I would
that
love
way.
It if what we've experienced was a 4-year blip in the quality of Marvel because they forgot to put heart and like effort into their movies. But I think probably this is just Disney corpo slop. And like, look, I love the first MCU decade. Like it's so fun and so special. And I think that so many great characters and great actors have been added to the MCU since sort of the Dark Ages began. And like, I think that, you know, we've talked about it. Shang-Chi got robbed and should have been brought back before now. The Eternals, they just like didn't do anything with like, there's so much fun stuff that they could have been doing. And instead it feels like they were just like, we got to crank them out real quick. And
I think it's
kind of a bummer.
It's really clear that where this is all headed after Doomsday and Secret Wars is a universe-wide, like full-on reset reboot. Except in the comics as well. Dr. Doom creates Battle World, which is like a patchwork land made of a bunch of different pieces of different realities, and Doom can be king of that. So that's definitely what's happening in Avengers Doomsday. It's why we have X-Men. It's why we have Fantastic Four, which is not in the mainline MCU, can almost guarantee that. It's in a different universe. And so that's why X-Men world, Fantastic Four world, I'm willing to bet we get Jennifer Garner back again for a cameo as Elektra, since she was so fun at Deadpool and Wolverine. Like,
are you just guessing about Fantastic Four being not mainline, or do you know something?
I am guessing based on rumors and the vibe of the trailer. It's
got it.
It's the 60s and nobody's talked about it in the present day. So definitely some sort of like, we're making a patchwork world. At the end of Doomsday, that's how it's going to end. He's going to make this world Secret Wars. They're all going to fight each other and then be like, wait, we're strongest when we team up. Avengers assemble, Chris Evans will say. And then they will fight and defeat Dr. Doom and lead to a universe-wide reset and reboot. And we could start over and tell new Marvel stories and cast a new Iron Man. And I want to just skip to that part. I don't think I care about how this part goes.
Sure.
RDJ in it. Yeah. Pedro Pascal in it. Chris Hemsworth. Vanessa Kirby. Anthony Mackie. Sebastian Stan. Evan Moss Bachrock, Simu Liu, Florence Pugh. I'm going to use names that we'll know for sure. Tom Hiddleston, Patrick Stewart, James Marsden, Joey Quinn, Channing Tatum, back as Gambit, about to make a name for himself. Paul Rudd, Alan Cumming, back as Nightcrawler. That's hilarious.
Crazy, dude.
David Harbour, Ian McKellen, back as Magneto. That was a big deal. Kelsey Grammer, back up in here. Letitia Wright. Who do we want to play with here for extra credit? Follow your gut, dude. Just follow your gut. Who would be?
Pedro.
So many name.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal.
I like to do Let's Pedro do Pascal for extra credit.
What are those top four credits, boy?
The Last of Us. Certainly.
The Last of Us.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number one.
Yeah.
Joel.
Game of Thrones.
I think The Incredible Weight of Massive Talent.
Yes, that's for sure there also.
Or The Unbearably Talented and Incredibly Close.
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, I believe. Lock that in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Just need to get three. You need to get these next two for sure. It's going to be helpful.
You think Game of Thrones?
I do.
Game of Thrones.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number three.
Mandalorian.
Yeah, probably. Mandalorian. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number two.
Okay.
Last of Us, number one. Mandalorian, number two. Game of Thrones, number three. And his fourth best known for, the Pedro Pascal. Kingsman, The Golden Circle.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Disagree, IMDb. Mm-hmm.
We've got three. If we average this, we win the game.
Huh. Who else?
And then we win Warland. We win War Planet. We win Battlefield. Mm-hmm. Land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We win it. It's us now.
Who else?
We are the new MCU.
It's like, which Lords of the Ring will it be for Ian McKellen? You know?
RDJ Hemsworth.
Let's do Flopoo, dude.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Florence Pugh.
Midsommar.
Shares a birthday with my wife.
My wife.
Midsommar.
Or
Midsommar. Lock it in. Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Midsommar is not in her top four.
Dude.
Are you looking at the right Florence Pugh?
I promise
you're
talking
about Florence Pugh from TV and movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Refresh the page.
Okay. Still not there.
That's crazy. That's crazy, dude. Little Women.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Fighting with My Family. Lock it in.
Lock it in. No, it's going to be Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Dude.
That's an offer, friends.
Is Dune
number one?
Is Dune
for
two?
Flopew. The Falling. Number two, Marcella. Number three, Lady Macbeth. Number four.
I just happened to look at Toast.
Number four, The Commuter with Liam Neeson.
Hey, that's crazy, dude.
Thank you. Doge's face
total
looks
chode
like
put together her top four.
Doge's
just like, actually, these are the best things.
Especially for you. Your face looks like the first time Andy Taylor tried Aunt B's pickles for the pickle contest. I'm saying these things. I'm just blasting through these random movies, bro. The Falling, Marcella, Lady Macbeth, that I happen to look up and Doge's like, so you need to, you actually have no way to win this
game.
Yeah,
no, yeah, right, right. It's like we put out almost a decade of stuff.
What would be fun?
Then
let's just go do Ian. Then go do a night. Why not finish it with a night? Why
Sir
not end
Ian
the day with
McKellen.
A night?
Yeah, all right.
Born in 1939. Holy crap.
The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. Lock it in.
Yeah, I lock it in.
Number three, bing, 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 bing.
Great.
The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, lock it in.
Lock it in, sure.
Bing, 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 bing. Number one.
Cats. The Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Cats.
Bong, bong.
To whom?
I didn't lock anything in.
I didn't lock anything in either.
Oh my God.
But who were you talking to?
So it turns out.
Well, I don't get to say that, do I?
Interesting.
So it turns out I guess you're a big dummy. Then, Carter.
Interesting. I think that means we get some points back.
I guess you're actually a pretty huge dummy then, Carter.
Sure. You have 8 points. All you need to do is get one more.
It's
and you can win.
Impossible, dude.
No, I get it. I've been unfair.
Whatever it is, it has eight points.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
There's no way, dude.
Lock it in.
Yeah, lock it in.
Bong bong.
Shrek
you got
2.
I'll give you, you got four more guesses
Shrek
to get
2,
one
lock
point.
It in.
Bong bong.
Shrek 3, lock it in.
Mm. Bong bong.
Shrek one 4, lock it in.
Oh, yeah.
Bing, bing, bing.
The,
you've won.
The as of yet to be released, Shrek 5, lock it in.
Fool of a donkey.
Number one, The Fellowship of the Ring. Number two, Gods and Monsters. Number three, The Return of the King. And number four, Richard the Third. Doomsday indeed.
Oof.
Very bad.
Oof.
Hey, y'all, Florence Pugh, what? What are we talking about, IMDb?
Make some real
Doesn't
movies
make
for once, Florence
any
Pugh.
Any sense to me, my friends. No sense.
Oof.
Yikes.
That hurts. Oof.
That's extra credit, though.
Man, fun games.
It's good that we do that.
Really fun game that I love playing.
Sir Ian would know all about memories.
Memories.
He was in the movie.
And you just expect me to leapfrog from that into... So we're going to talk about Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Season 48. Here's the thing. This will be the last thing we... This will be our episode closer. We'll be talking about Survivor. This is the best season in a long time. Even if it ends tomorrow. This will be the best season in a long time. This is miles in a far and away the best season of the new era to me. I think it's the most interesting cast. Some of the most fun gameplay, some of the most fun dummies with no discernible gameplay. Like
we have Milk Boy.
We have Milk Boy. Milk Boy.
And I love Milk Boy.
Yeah, Milk Boy's been fun.
It's pretty great.
Milk Boy's
didn't
been
know
fun.
I would like him. Here he
but
is.
We do. If you've been watching Survivor, then you know we would like to spend a little time talking about something that happened this last week that was, frankly, beautiful.
Before we talk about that, I do want to say that the fact that there's a guy who has four nipples and his favorite drink in the world is milk.
Sounds like four nipples, sir.
That sounds like a superhero from The Boys. There's no way
that's
real. Oh, it does.
That's true. It totally does.
That's true. But he doesn't have four nipples. He had four nipples. He only has the two left.
Oh, that's true.
So, you know, how much, before you speak.
How much do you think he liked milk before he had
Way more.
Can you
or
imagine?
Maybe the reason he likes milk so much now is because he misses it.
I miss you.
His
name would be Tate.
If you are not watching Survivor, I would say it is worth it even to just go watch last week's episode.
Like, I just got that.
Yeah.
If you haven't been watching or if you've never watched Survivor before, I would say get on Paramount Plus or, you know, if you've got, apparently they aired it again last night because it was so popular.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Go find a way to watch this last week's episode and then come back and finish this because it really is something phenomenal and something special. We talked a little bit about so these two characters involved are my two winner picks for the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that dream has been dashed by this beautiful moment, but that is okay because this week we had something really special happen. Eva, who is a Survivor contestant, probably early 20s, I would assume. She is a really badass athlete. She's a hockey player.
Currently playing. She's pursuing her PhD and is playing for Brown University hockey team.
She is
the men's hockey team.
Whip smart, very athletic, super cool. And in, I think the first or second episode, reveals to her tribe mate, Joe, that she is autistic. And she reveals it to Joe because Joe is pretty obviously to her a trustworthy person who seems like a good man.
It's just, all of it is just so unbelievable.
I read an interview this week where she said the reason she trusted Joe so quickly is because she knew his kids' names and how proud of them he was before she knew what he did for a living.
Yeah.
And that spoke to her in a way that said, I can trust this man. So she confides in him, hey, just so you know, I'm autistic. I'm really excited to be here, but sometimes I have what I like to call episodes where I get overwhelmed. And she was like, sometimes I start to wring my hands or I stim by, you know, squeezing my hands, scratching my hands or, you know, doing something with my hands. And it's hard for me to like ground myself in these moments. And because I trust you, I'm asking if you would be willing to, outside of anything game related, if you would be the one that would help me out here, if that happens to me. Joe says, without hesitation, of course I will. And
I think at that point too, he'd even essentially committed at least to the camera, to the producers, that like he would sacrifice his own game.
Yes, he does say like something right after happened. That, I would throw my
just absolutely electric between these two.
Yeah, something just happened. Unbelievable. There was just a chemical reaction between the two of them where they were just bonded like this. And you know, we go four episodes without any autism events for Eva, and then in the challenge of this last episode, during
really frustrating. I mean,
it's designed. It's a game that is designed to kind of put you at the end of your wits for sure. Yeah. It's a ball maze where you have to roll it like sort of Super Monkey Ball style and get the balls to land in holes at the end. And Eva is last on her tribe to tackle this. Everybody has to do it. It's coming down to her and one other girl on another tribe. They're in a deadlock and Eva is getting frustrated as the game is designed to be. And her tribe is being so encouraging and like, Eva, you got this. Eva, you got this. Don't doubt yourself. Just take a breath. Like, you're going to nail this. And nobody besides Joe knows that Eva is autistic. So they don't know what she needs in this moment.
Nobody. Come to find out, you know, Jeff Probst, this is a incredibly impactful. I'm sure he's written articles about episodes before, you know, but there was something that even the way that we were producing this before it was released, that it's look at how influential this is. To Jeff, we see a clip of him crying and says, this has never happened before. And so for those of you that are Survivor heads are like, whoa, oh my gosh, what?
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that he says that even much of production did not know that she was autistic. The crew.
Because I'd imagine there, if they're the camera or audio for a tribe she's not on, they probably didn't need to know. Which is interesting to think about. You think that they would probably have briefs on everybody, but why would they? Makes sense. But anyway, Eva succeeds. She nails it. She finishes the challenge.
Completely, the release like, on of her energy there when she did it.
Yeah.
Which was like excitement and a touch of anguish. Like I it was just fully not holding back, you know?
Yeah.
To an extent that you can't, but.
In the sort of outpouring of emotion from everybody after this event, or after the challenge, Eva has an autism event is what she refers to it in an article I saw, where she gets overwhelmed and she can't ground herself. And Joe is like a raging bull in a china shop, just staring because they have to stay separated like into their tribes. They cannot cross over to another tribe during a challenge. It's like part of the rules of the game. Yes. And Jeff, being Jeff, sees this and gives release for Joe to go to Eva. And they just sprint to each other, man. They just sprint to each other and grab each other. And Joe has her hands, their forehead to forehead. He is calming her down. He is like saying exactly what she asked him to say. He is doing exactly what she asked him to do. And together, the two of them sort of come down from this emotional high that the challenge brought on. And it's like this, I would say like game transcending, beautiful moment of humanity and understanding, yeah. but also like the bravery of Eva to step out and ask for help. Mm-hmm. And the, anyway, I could go on forever. Eva shares her story with the entire show. Everybody who's there, she shares about her autism. Everyone celebrates with her. It's like, it's one of the best moments on television, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
I was weeping because there was just something for me that was just so incredibly encouraging. I think the vice of the kind of access that we have in our present day of just news and just how awful people seem to be and awful situations seem to be, just the raw kindness and humanity of Joe Hunter and Eva Erickson. I'll never forget what that did for me in that moment. It was special. You know, I wrote a book on charisma, and really what I'm discovering and what I think I've known all along is I think I wanted to find a way that kindness can be quantifiable and share that with people and teach that to people because it means so much to me. And there's little subsets of charisma, but there were multiple people, especially Joe, Eva, and Jeff, that were exhibiting a sensitivity to the environment, to the needs of others, unconventional behavior, personal risk, and then vision and articulation. Those are like the main five things that says this is what it takes to be charismatic. Do what you want with it, right? Because it's like a superpower. It's like the One Ring. It can be evil. It can be good. But in this sense, it was just raw goodness. And just the awareness, the emotional intelligence and awareness of really what felt like everyone involved.
Yeah.
And what a perfect storm. Doge, if you want to dive a little more into this, because I know you know the specs a little better, but the perfect storm of like telling the story. It's one thing to, we love storytelling in general. I would say at the root, the espresso drip of Two Chunks and a Hunk is telling stories. And we just love your story.
Definitely.
We love to hear stories. We love to talk about stories. But it really is important how we produce these things, right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal. There's a reason that half of the Academy, half of your major awards are like technical because we've got to figure this out. But the way they shot it was perfect. I mean, it just felt...
Yeah. Expertly produced, expertly edited.
Just unbelievable.
Yeah. Unbelievably great. Unbelievably great. Eva, like having the knowledge of herself to be like, hey, I am going to need help and here is exactly what I need from you. And then Joe having the, I guess, humility. I guess the just like, I'm going to just do exactly what she told me she needs. I'm not going to like try to assess the situation and be like, maybe she needs this too. It's just like, no, I'm just follow
the special sauce on it. Just
follow the instructions. Yeah. Just.
And every time too, like even the little things of he's asking her before he touches her.
Yep.
Every little thing, it is up to her. He is testing the hypothesis. Can I hug you?
This has been a special season.
Fine, can I grab your hands again? Oh, it is, dude.
Overall,
even the Mitch thing.
Yeah. Mitch, a contestant with a lifelong stutter, has been so inspirational, I think, just in the way that he has conducted himself with the conversation with Jeff. I think the courage to answer honestly when Jeff asks, do you want people to help you finish a word or a sentence, or do you want them to just be patient and let you finish? I think there's a lot of people that would people please and say, oh, yeah, help me. But I really admire that Mitch said, I want to finish it myself. If I get the choice, I'd like for you to wait for me to finish. And I just think Mitch is awesome too. I think there was a conversation in last week's episode as well between Joe, Kyle, Camilla, and Shaheen, where they talked about
generational.
Their parents and whether it's immigration or just sort of ethnic background or different things that. Come into play. Joe talked about how his parents took a picture in front of a segregated water fountain. His parents are, they're a biracial couple and, or I guess a mixed race couple. I'm not sure how you phrase that, honestly.
Inter.
Do what?
Inter.
Interracial.
Interracial. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They took a picture in front of a segregated water fountain. Like that's not that long ago. And it spurs this discussion about where we come from and how those weights stay with us. I don't know. This has been such a season about like kicking down walls and being very vulnerable and honest with one another. And
which is, that is a very special. Jeff, that a very Jeff Probst. Like if I could be like, what's the most important thing to Jeff Probst? It would be the like, Jeff seems to really believe that Survivor is a very powerful vehicle for self-actualization.
Yes.
I think Jeff, the reason he loves Survivor and the reason that he continues to host it is because I think he believes that something happens to people when they show up in Fiji and there's some sort of like, I discover exactly who I am, or I now have a tool to become a better me or a more authentic or truer me. So that to me, it's no wonder that this moment with Joe and Eva was a breaking point for Jeff. Jeff, like, because I think he's
as a father,
as a father and as a person who believes in the power of Survivor to help people come like to a more full understanding of their identity. I think he's been building to that point all season.
Well, I think the thing that I really appreciate about Jeff is that it seems like what really broke him in that moment was thinking about autistic kids watching the show.
Yeah.
And seeing Eva and being like, oh, that's me. Like,
yep,
I can do this thing. And we've talked a lot throughout the course of our whole podcast about like the power of representation and how important, genuinely important it is for kids to see Miles Morales, to see Shang-Chi, to see people like Eva, to see conversations on Survivor between people of different backgrounds and different struggles, and how important it is to see yourself represented on screen. You know, so many contestants in Survivor have come on and have said that having the first ever winner of Survivor be a gay man was enormous for them because they saw themselves on TV. And that's why Survivor has become a special and safe place for the LGBTQ community. And it's why one of the most famous moments in Survivor history is somebody being harshly and inappropriately outed, and the reaction of Jeff and the rest of the contestants is one of protection and anger for the person who was wrong. Like when you see yourself treated as a person on television, when you see people like you treated as more than the world, especially right now, wants to treat you as, and when the powers that be are harsh and hateful and you look for a place where you are loved, accepted, seen, it's cool that Survivor is one of those. I think that's what a special gift this season has been.
And I think that's what I love so much about it is like explicitly it's $4 million. Sure.
Yeah.
Like objectively it's for money, but really there's also so much you're just learning about yourself by watching this like petri dish of humanity and the opportunities that we have and it's almost like a bit of an intervention sometimes.
Yeah.
That's just like, we're gonna put you in the sand and you just have yourself. What are you gonna do? You know?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
On top of all of that too, some pretty awesome gameplay this season.
Yeah.
Camilla and Kyle are blowing me away with the way that they are able to navigate the difficult relationships with honesty and deception is like
unbelievably good, dude.
Pretty fantastic.
It's amazing.
This has been what a season. And I think individual game, I think merge time is going to be pretty nuts.
Next episode, right? Tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow's episode.
Yep.
Can't wait.
Pretty nuts.
Can't wait. So, Love Survivor.
Love Survivor. Yeah. Please watch it.
Love people.
I know I've talked to people in person who are like, yeah, I love the show. And then once you start talking about Survivor, it's like it may as well be a different language. I don't understand any of that. Just watch it. Just try it. This season is great. Just give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, Survivor has the highest viewership it's had in years right now. Survivor's like on an upswing. But honestly, I just think that it is such a good show. Like it's the best of all of the competition shows. And it deserves an audience. So if you think you might even be interested in a show of like interpersonal relationship meets strategy and backstabbing, like this is it.
Do it.
This is the one to watch.
Just give it a shot. It's a great season.
And on that note, to end today's episode, very simple. Each of us say our name and then it's a yes or no question. Are you gunning, if you're on the island, are you gunning for Joe and Eva immediately following last week's episode? And be honest. Don't be like, no, because I respect them. Be honest. Because for Two Junks and Ankas, Jordan, and dude, targets number one and two, you cannot argue for $1 million against either of these people. You cannot do it.
I'm Doge. I think my My big bet is going to be that I'm one of the only people on the beach willing to target them. Because
so you got to be careful with it.
So I got to be careful with it. So I think my actual next step would be like, what do you guys think? I know we love Joe and Eva. What do we think about Joe, Eva, and Doge? And we could all be friends and try and ingratiate myself to them to cut them later. Because I do think that, like, especially new era of Survivor, it's can get a little kumbaya. And I do think that they're not going to be targeted.
I think everybody's waiting for one person to have the nuts to say it's time to go after Joe and Eva.
Yeah. I think I'm Carter.
I think so too.
And then also, I think if I was playing just being a good person, that's the thing I've wondered is if I go on Survivor, will I be a good person or like a villain? Because I love both. I think this would be my shift if I was good ultimately. And I would just be about the whispers. I would never, you would never credit me for being the person who
Carter
ultimately
and his
voted
little spiders.
I might never even write their names down. But I'll sit there and talk all sides of that conversation with you about what do we do, you know? It's so, or I might not even say
how bad it is. That's when I'd be sitting there being like, Joe and
Eva,
what a story, man.
I was like, they're going to win, right? Can you not imagine? Like, I would vote for them. You know, I'm not going to say like, what are you going to do? I'll just be like, well, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. So,
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just happy to be here to see this.
We're all just so lucky to be on a season with Joe and Eva. That's what you start with, I think.
It's just so great.
Isn't it so cool that we get to be here on Joe and Eva's season? You start referring to it as Joe and Eva Stevens?
Yes.
Joe and Eva's season?
And I'm talking to Mitch and I'm saying, hey, man, like 1B is fine too.
You know? Yeah, you could be the third main character.
People still remember you. Yeah.
This is great. I want you to know that when I leave here, like your story will be the first one that I say. I don't know if that
everybody else. I don't know.
Mitch, I will share your story first to other people.
Yeah, I think Joe and Eva are my two favorite people. This whole cast is phenomenal, but
yeah,
they're my winner picks. I want one of them to win. This is the best season ever if one of them wins.
Yeah. I got a Mitch.
Sneaky love.
I got a Mitch.
Love Mary, dude. Sneaky love Mary.
Mary's
She's Mary, dude.
So funny.
Mary's.
Mary, Camilla, Kyle, Joe, Eva, Mitch. I think that's my top.
Mary's nonverbals are great. I want like a picture-in-picture of like Survivor is the full screen and then a little circle at the bottom that's just Mary nonverbally reacting to what's happening on that episode.
Best facial expressions,
the best nonverbals, dude.
When Say was like, I think everybody should actually be a lot more humble about winning and shouldn't brag about it. Mary's face. Phenomenal. Gosh.
Oh, man.
Phenomenal.
Good season.
Also, huge Say fan. I love Say very much.
Good season. Yeah. Good contestants.
Well.
Good podcast?
Nah.
Good friends?
We'll see.
Good sauces?
Good sauces for sure.
Goodbye.
Good grief.
Wah, wah.